Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chattin', your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the other Mark. 3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
I'll have a bushwhacker.
Cheers. I'll fetch him over.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Rob.
How are we doing? All right?
All right.
I'm good, actually, yeah.
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 You're looking
diseased.
A bit buff. You've been working out.
Yeah, you do look...
Are you still wearing children's clothes?
No, little bit of both.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
No, I've been working out, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Aerobics?
Yeah. No.
One of those plastic steppers.
Nearly. I know, I've been in the gym. But I have had a bit of a setback. I mentioned the other week about my sciatica. I always say that as if I've got a life.
My sciatica.
Long-lasting condition.
It disables you for a couple of days. Yeah.
Well, it's still there, but it's not like it's constant pain now. So I probably do need physio. But yeah, I'm back working out and I'm enjoying it. Thanks for noticing, Mark.
No problem.
That'll make his week. That'll absolutely make his week.
It's only because I noticed that Action Man doll in corners missing its top. Rob's managed to stretch into it.
This is quite baggy for me.
Are you looking forward to your skydive, Rob? It's only about just over a month away.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It's funny you should say that because I think I was driving to work.
Yeah.
I was driving to work yesterday. It just popped into my head and I got nervous. Oh, you know, you think about something and you just go, oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. Almost like as it's getting closer, the whole... You know what I'm like? I'm all like, I'm going to do it.
You're all pumped up, yeah.
Are you nervous? No, I'm just excited. And it's like, as he's getting closer, I'm turning more to, I'm really excited about this.
Have you started having those twitches when you're nodding off on a night and you get that falling feeling and you jump and wake up?
Yeah.
You can't consider that training.
No.
Or imagine that feeling constantly for.
Yeah. Oh no.
Well, so if you're feeling like this now and you're doing it like what in 3-4 weeks time or whatever, do you think it's going to get worse, this fear?
I have a feeling it might.
I mean, it's not going to get better, surely.
No, and now we're talking about it. I've actually got nervous.
Oh, you're starting to get.
I've got really
Let's
nervous.
Talk about it for the entire episode.
I've got really nervous. But I'm excited for it. I am nervous, but it's fast approaching.
But you don't think you'll knock back out the last minute?
I will not back out.
But what if you're really, really, really
don't
nervous?
Care. I won't back out, mate. You know what I'm like.
Yeah.
I'm doing something.
Okay.
I'm doing it.
He'll be fine because I can guarantee, right, when he's on that plane going up, right, he'll be really nervous. And then all of a sudden, this little noise in his head will come in of dum, 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 dum. And that's it. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
He'll
think, calling him names.
Cheeky.
Dum, dum.
And how's yours going, Kirk? You're still doing keto?
I'm still doing keto. Yeah. Doing really well. Lost over 2 stone.
Brilliant.
Well done. I would say I'm on track.
Yeah. Is it plateauing at all, or is it? Just...
No, I'm losing about a steady £2 a week.
That's great. That
is that your membership?
Good. Yeah. It's £3 a week cheaper than Slimming World.
Do you not go to that anymore, Slimming World?
You certainly couldn't do both at the same time because they're almost like the opposite
really?
Ends. You've literally got one end of Slimming World that's like stay away from fats, stay away from oils, and eat as much carbs as you want. And keto is eat fats, eat butter, eat oil. You know.
So can I ask, why didn't you go back to Slimming World and tell them that you're on? Is it called keto?
Yeah,
keto. And tell them that, and would they be like, get out of here, we don't want to... No. Is that how they react to that, or do they go...
No, not at all.
Because surely it's like somebody believing in God, somebody not believing in God. It's completely opposites, isn't it?
Not really.
Is it not?
It's everybody understands that there's different ways of losing weight. So I'm sure that a nutritionist or whatever would sit there and say, you know, the Slimming World is awful and really bad for you and stuff like that. And then as somebody else with the same nutritionist degree or whatever is.
Is it not nutritionist?
I don't know.
Nutritionalist.
I'm just pulling him up for it.
It's nutritionist.
What do you know about words?
Do I look like an expert in nutrition?
Look at you knowing about words.
I know nothing about words. I can't even say them. I'm right.
We've noticed.
But someone with the same qualification would then sit there and tell you that keto is bad for you. And so there's so many, you can find just as much negative as you can positive for everything. I'm just trying something different and it's working. So I'm sticking with it.
That's what we said in a couple of episodes about it, as in there's no one diet that's for everybody's different.
Yeah.
Have you introduced any exercise at all yet?
I've tried to up my step count. I've tried to be a bit more thought process about upping my step count. Mm-hmm. Is what I've probably done at the minute, mainly through going for a round of golf.
Yeah. Hey, listen, any wins
are winning. You can always put your coffee at one end of the kitchen and your sweeteners at the other end.
Yeah. That's the only thing I need to get back to the gym. It's just the timing, because I've swapped gyms to a nicer gym, to a closer gym. But the problem is that it closes at 8 o'clock and I'm not getting home from work until 7:30.
Even some home workout stuff, just the really small things that you think, that probably won't do anything. If you're working a muscle, it's burning some sort of energy.
Yeah,
you know what
absolutely.
I mean?
But what I am shocked at, boys, is that I had a telephone conversation a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
With Mark.
With me?
No. Other one.
With you?
Yeah, with me.
And
are you saying that as if you don't speak to each other?
No. But I was shocked. I believe you've started trying keto, haven't you, Mark?
I have.
Have you?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Have you?
I have got... I did it for a week and a half, and then I took the van away at the weekend and fell off the wagon. Okay. Royally. But I'm back on it again, and it's amazing.
I'm not quite sure you fell off. You stepped off.
I did what Jürgen did with a parachute without a parachute.
Guys, listen, honestly, it was so funny because leading up to... sorry, I'll let you come back in a minute, Mark. But leading up to the him going away, so he always knew he was going away for the weekend and stuff like that. And he wrote phone to me because obviously I've been doing keto a bit longer, so Mark's been ringing me and saying, what about this, what about that? And we've been sharing stories about it. And he kept saying, when I go away for the weekend, I'm going to try and chill out a bit. I'm going to still try and focus on it and stuff like that. And I'm very much like, look, life's for living, enjoy yourself or whatever. He's like, no, wherever I can, I'm going to try and stick to it. He went away, I think, on the Thursday in the afternoon. And by Thursday tea time, he sent me a picture of him eating a pot noodle. I'm like, out of all the things to break your diet on, why waste it on a pot noodle?
Darcy had opened it and she would make it and she went, I don't really like this. And she said, shall I throw it in bin? And I was like, you can't waste that. Certainly not now I'm cheating.
Yeah, waste that 40p pot noodle.
So I had that as a starter.
Sounds like you're having riveting conversations when you ring each other.
Oh, very much so.
Have you had any... we talked about the positive side effects. Mm-hmm. Have you had any negative side effects to it?
When I first went into ketosis in the first couple of days, and I've actually fell out of it once and had to go back into it again, and it happened on both cases, I got the shits.
Right.
Obviously the first time could have been coincidence, but then when it happened again, it's probably something that's linked.
Okay.
And a bit of a heavy head at the beginning. Why, have you?
So.
Do we feel a story coming on here, Mark?
Strap in.
Here we go.
The other weekend, and it was the weekend before we were going away, so I'd been doing keto for 7 days at this point, and I felt amazing. My head was
good,
high.
Innit?
Yeah, you got like a, almost like a natural, you feel like your head is above where you normally would be. You just feel really clear-headed, don't you?
Yeah.
Energy levels are through the roof. My sleeping is incredible. I'm not feeling sluggish. Anyway, I think it was a Sunday. And, or was it the Saturday? Anyway, it was on the weekend. And we needed to...
What was that?
You playing the violin? I needed to pick some cards up. So we went to Retail World. For those of you that aren't local to Rotherham, Retail World is like a shopping... outdoor shopping
centre.
I'm sure
I think they have Retail
World.
Parkgate Retail World, it's an outdoor shopping centre. Like, you know, they have one at Castleford, they've got them all over the country, with Lakeside and one at, you know, anyway. Yeah. So we went there and Helen said, right, I'm going to nip into, I think she was trying to get some trainers for Darcy. For school. And I said, right, I'll go and get the cards. So I set off on my way down to Card Factory. Walked into Card Factory, got my card, and I thought, Right. So
for those who don't know, up and down the UK, that's a shop that sells cards.
Yeah, very cheap.
But they don't make them because it's not a factory.
It's not a factory.
No, it's just a card shop.
You say that they might make them in the back.
I don't.
Anyway,
think they do.
As I get my card, I felt a bit of discomfort in my stomach, and I was like, oof, and I thought, I need toilet.
I thought it was a private card.
No, they're very. Anyway, and I thought I could do it. I need toilet. So I thought, right, I'll get this card and I'll go to toilets. Goes to checkout, and then there's just one guy queuing in front of me and one guy on this till. And I'm stood there, and then I just see the guy on the till press his buzzer, and he looks over at the guy that he's serving and says to me, "Sorry, mate, I won't be too long." So I'm stood there.
Does he need toilet as well?
He's obviously called for some assistance. Maybe there's an issue with this till, or anyway. So I'm stood in this queue and I'm thinking, I need toilet. And now I really need the toilet. So I said, it's okay, mate. And I got the card and I said, I'll leave that there and I'll come back for it. So I set off out of Card Factory and I'm like, where's the nearest toilets? So I walked all the way around to where Frankie and Benny's is.
Uh-huh.
And I thought there were some toilets around the back. Not
anymore.
Well, there are. Oh. So I crossed the road and then I went to Subway. Mm-hmm. And as I went into Subway, it said, customer notice, please note, there are no toilets. Please use the toilets next to the cash machine. Now, the cash machine was opposite where I thought the toilets used to, where the toilets used to be. Mm-hmm. So I walked around past the cash machine to where the toilets were. There was a sign on the door that said, due to vandalism, the toilets are out of order.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I'm thinking
you'd nearly shit yourself.
At this point, I needed the toilet. I was running and walking at the same time. You know that walk when you're trying to not move your cheeks too much? I was walking with some serious urgency. So I was like, what do I do here?
Morrison's.
So, yeah. Well, it was too far. Morrison's is what, half a mile away up the other, it's got the complete other end of Retail World. So I'm like, what do I do? So I thought, right, this Popeye's around the corner, what used to be KFC.
Yeah.
So I set off running round the side of Frankie and Benny's. There's no crossing points to get across the road. So I'm stood waiting for cars to stop. None of the cars are wanting to stop. So I'm like, come on. So then I just stepped out into the road and I'm like putting my hand up and cars are stopping. I went running into Popeye's and I'm like, right, where are the toilets? Goes running through Popeye's, opens the door, goes into the... Into the men's toilets. As I'm walking, I'm following a guy in.
Oh, is anyone
cubicle? We walk in through the door. He goes to the only cubicle. And I'm stood outside the cubicle. I'm like, and there's another guy in there already. There's two urinals, and this other guy stood at this one urinal. So he like looks at me, and this other guy's gone into the cubicle. I'm stood there thinking, what do I do now? I can't move. So I'm like, right, I'll pretend to go to the urinal as if I'm not, you know, trying to keep some modesty and, you know, dignity. So I'm like, you know, but I'm thinking, I can't relax to have a wee.
Absolutely.
Because if I do, then it's game over.
Hiroshima.
It's all game over. So I'm like, I'm going to have to keep moving. So I goes outside the toilet and I'm walking up and down the corridor outside and I'm like, oh God, I can't believe this. I see a disabled toilet. Winner. Goes to try the door. The door's locked. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh no. I'm hoping this guy's just having a wee in the cubicle. He's not. I can see his feet, facing away from the toilet. I'm like, This is not happening. So I'm like, there's only one thing for it. So I was running out of the
urinal.
No, I ran into the ladies.
well, you can nowadays. You can use any toilet.
I was running into the ladies. There's one cubicle and it's open. Wow. What a sigh of relief. I goes in, closes the door, shuts the door, locks the door behind me. It's too late. It's too late.
Oh no.
I'm sat down on this toilet and I'm like, right.
That's not an image.
If I can get away with Commando, I can deal with the rest of it.
Oh no.
I can't.
Oh no.
It's everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's pebble dashed.
Right. I kick my shoes off.
What's in your shoes?
My socks.
What?
So I'm like, I'm sat in this toilet cubicle and I'm like, what do I do now? I'm stuck.
Does anybody know where you are?
No. Helen's still buying shoes for Darcy.
This is a perfect time for this.
So I'm sat there and I'm like, this is horrendous. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I'm messaging Helen. Helen, I've got a problem. And she didn't reply. And then a couple of minutes later, she replies, what's the matter? I told her, I'm stuck in the toilet cubicle in Popeyes.
Go and get buy me some clothes.
I need some boxer shorts, some trousers or shorts, and some socks. Right.
And the worse, next thing. Worse still, I'm in ladies' toilets.
This toilet is really brightly coloured. Like Popeyes, is their brand is all orange, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Inside the toilets is the same. So I'm sat there. I'm like, I can't believe this. Then the door opens to the toilet. I'm in the only cubicle. All I hear is this. Oh, mummy, isn't it orange in here?
Oh.
I'm sat there and I'm thinking, my heart sank and I'm like, oh no.
this does not look good.
And this young girl and a mum. Anyway, she comes in and she's like that. Oh, it smells in here, mummy. I'm sat there and I'm thinking, this is not happening. And I'm thinking, right, be quiet. Be quiet.
When's your court case coming up?
She rattles the door, obviously. So I do this. As you know, let them know that there's somebody in there without trying to let them know it's a blow.
In a male voice.
Right. And then they're like, yeah, I know, it's taking a while, isn't it? And then the door closes and I can hear them disappear into the distance. And then the door opens and they come back in again. Mummy, it's been a long time, hasn't it? And I'm sat there and I'm like, oh no.
Are you sweating by now?
Really, but worst I've ever... And I'm messaging Ellen and I'm saying, Ellen, you cannot believe... I am so embarrassed.
Helen, come
quick.
And
I'm stuck in this toilet. And I'd messaged her before saying, I hope nobody comes in. These have been in twice now. Then literally another few minutes pass. And then this woman's going, I don't know what's going off. Is everything all right in there? And I'm sat there and I'm thinking, don't talk. I don't know what to do. What do I do?
Yes, I'm all right.
The next thing, she steps outside. And then I can hear her talking to somebody. She's saying, look, I don't know what's going off in there, but they've been in there for ages. Anyway, this woman comes in and she goes, hello, is everything all right in there? Do you need any help?
Oh my God.
I'm sat there and I went, right, you're probably not expecting a bloke's voice.
Oh my goodness.
Oh wow.
I hear the woman and the daughter walk out and then this woman's still there and she's saying, is everything okay? And I'm saying, I really don't know what to say to you, but my wife is on her way with some things.
Oh, my
Everything
goodness.
Is okay. I'm really sorry. Then it just goes quiet, and the door closes, and she's gone. And I'm sat there, and I'm like, oh, my word. Then the next thing, the door swings open, and I hear somebody coming in with a big paper bag, and it's Helen. She's been to Primark. She's got me some...
Oh.
And she's, like, shoving them under the door, and I'm like, Ellen... Oh. I said, I don't know what to do. And she went, well, she's outside, this woman, and I'm like, right, oh, it's all right. And Ellen's, like, trying to calm things down. Yeah. So... I obviously sort myself out and sort the area out and, you know, put everything into the bag
out.
That's left. So a paper bag. Primark bags are made of paper. So I'm like trying to cup it maintain the incident. I walk out and the member of staff just stood there looking at me.
Please tell me you gave her the paper bag.
Thank you very much. I walked up to her. At this point, right, I'd not put the socks on, so I'd just got trainers on. These, like... fleece shorts and it were freezing on that day. I'm a big padded jacket. So I looked like
I'd been out, you look like Rob.
Yeah, like I'd been out streaking. And I just looked and I said, I'm ever so sorry, love. I suffer with IBS and I'm really sorry. And she went, no, it's okay. And I just literally head down, walked straight out. I was honestly never been as embarrassed in all my life.
Oh, God. Mate.
That is a story.
Yeah.
And that's embarrassing,
isn't
it?
And so yeah, keto is really good in some ways, but you have to prepare yourself.
I'm happy somebody else has experienced. I mean, I didn't. I mean, wow.
Yeah. Well, I actually said to her, I said, look, I'm really sorry. I suffer with IBS, and all the toilets on here are all closed. And then she went, it's okay, it's all right. And I was just, you know, sweating profusely.
Yeah.
So embarrassed. Stormed, and obviously there's people eating. I'm like, head down, because no doubt people are looking.
And I mean, I'm guessing maybe people could smell it if you're carrying a bag of poo through a restaurant. Maybe.
Well,
I mean, I don't.
I'd managed to. Anyway. Wow. But yeah, that was eventful.
And have you been back to Popeye since? Have you been back?
No.
I didn't even buy anything from there.
No, I reckon that member of staff probably handed a notice in and went, I can't cope with this. I only came in to sell chicken.
I mean, I was going to say that I was contemplating keto, but I'm not now.
I've contemplated trying it because it sounds amazing. I don't mean that story.
I mean, everything, I don't know. I don't know what to say to you. Mark summed it up. As far as I'm aware, Mark's never really tried proper dieting. He's tried eating healthier or watching what he eats or cutting out his snacking or increased his fitness, I believe.
Yeah.
And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, please, that you mainly tried it because of what I'd said regarding how it made you feel.
Yeah. Like and obviously, you know.
Yeah. But almost that was a side effect to lose a bit of weight or a couple of pounds. But the main reason was that clarity of thought, that this and other.
Yeah.
And
not feeling bloated and that sort of thing.
It warms my heart to know that Mark has tried it and has had that positive effect. Yeah. I can't... Is it something that I could do forever? No. And that's purely and simply because the things that you do have to sacrifice for it, I'm not willing to give up for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Okay, simple as that. And the feeling that you have and stuff like that is amazing, absolutely. But fundamentally, to cut out bread, sandwiches, pasta, pizza,
donuts, cookies.
You know, donuts. Well, yeah, but even just, you know, the amount of things that it is, you know, sushi. I love sushi.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I can't even have sushi. Do you know what I mean? And stuff like that. So I don't mean that I'll do this till I've lost weight and then all of a sudden start consuming the amount of carbs that I used to eat. One thing that it has made me realise more than anything is to reduce the amount of carbs, even in general.
It makes you feel so much better, doesn't it?
Without a shadow of a doubt. And what I would say, Mark, especially because you don't eat loads.
No, not particularly, you know, no.
And you're not an overly fussy eater.
No, not particularly, you no. Know.
So I would urge anyone to give it a go. Just to experience that.
Well, at least if I do try it, at least I'll be prepared for the toilet.
Yeah.
Because it's a situation. I know you didn't get caught short, but you had an incident.
Carry a nappy.
I'll do that. I'll carry a nappy with me.
Yeah.
And a toilet roll or something. Some change of clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'll do.
But changing direction slightly. And it is... Well, it's not slightly, it's completely. I'm putting the handbrake on here and doing a handbrake turn. Oh, we're looking on social media. You know when you're like just scrolling through videos?
Yeah.
And, one scrolling,
And one, obviously, Tom Hardy's quite big at the minute, isn't he? Because he's in this new mob.
Mobland.
Yes. Mobland. And it was this video, and it was called, and it just said something about professional fans. And I thought, what the hell are professional fans?
Oh, okay.
So I clicked on it and opened it up. And
that sounds like an upgrade from OnlyFans.
Or a downgrade.
And it's basically Tom Hardy stood on the outside of... It's almost like on the red carpet, but on the outside of the, on the inside of the fence, if you like, and all the fans are on the opposite side of the fence. And he's walking down signing things. And all you can hear is people shouting, Tom, Tom, sign us this. It's $200 on eBay. Sign us this. It's worth 150... And they're like shouting at him to sign stuff.
As the value of what it's
and
worth.
And giving the value of how much they get for it to sell it.
Really?
Wow.
I was absolutely dumbfounded. I mean, I know it exists.
No way.
And I know that people get the shirt signed and stuff to stick them on eBay. And I get it exists. But to actually tell the person that you're doing it, please sign me this because it's going to make me some money.
So blatantly.
I were absolutely stumped.
That is unbelievable. Really?
And when you watch this video, did it persuade Tom... We're like going, I'm going to sign that because it's going to be tough.
Well, it was signing bits and pieces. He was just signing randomly, yeah. I don't know how much he was succumbing to the people that were shouting. There were just so many arms coming, like, holding stuff out to him. But you could hear at least half a dozen, plain as day, shouting how much stuff was worth.
And what was this in this country? Or were somewhere in America?
Well, I'm sure it was dollars they shouted, so it wouldn't have been, would it?
Okay.
I'm
going to say, I can't imagine British people shouting. It's a more of an American thing.
I might be wrong. It might have been English and it might have been pounds. But
but
if you get a chance to find the video, honestly, you're like, you're almost embarrassed behalf of them, but they're just not bothered because they want to make the money off it.
Just that mindset.
Yeah.
Go on.
I was just going to say, obviously, I know we've talked about fame before and obviously don't want to go too in deep. But could you imagine being in that situation when you're walking down the street and people are shouting at you and saying, sign us this, give me some money.
Well, I was just about to say, have you seen the video with Tom Hanks and his wife?
No.
So the... I think
I might have seen this.
I actually don't know how old the video is, but Tom Hanks looks like he looks now. Do you get what I mean? So it's not, you know... and he's walking through an airport.
Ah, I've seen it, yeah.
Have you seen it? He's walking through an airport. Now, Tom Hanks is quite...
You're not talking about that film he did, is it?
No, he wasn't living there. No. Great film, by the way. Yeah. Really under...
I didn't know you were married to Catherine Zeta-Jones. Yeah.
So we're walking through an airport. Now, Tom Hanks is quite well known for being quite placid, very nice guy. You know,
that's the word I'd use, placid.
Yeah, you know, I think he turned up to someone's wedding once because he met them while they were out on a run. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so, but he's walking, and obviously being hounded by paparazzi or anything. And he's walking along, he's second, but then they pushed too far and they like knocked into his wife.
Oh.
And he lost his shit.
Oh, I think I have seen this video. Yeah.
Lost it. He's like, will you back off? And everyone was just stunned. Everybody just kind of, all these paparazzi just. And he's like, I'm not, you know, that's my wife. And I think it does, like what you say about that what they have to put up with, these people, especially people that are really seriously famous.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, and it's almost as though we have this right. And although I do get it that there is an element of if they make money from the public, there's got to be some give and take from that. But these people are still just human beings.
Yeah. Honestly, I can't believe you've both said this tonight. Literally, 3 days ago, I saw a post by Robbie Williams. Let me, I'm going to find it.
Oh.
And I even thought I need to bring this up at some point. And you've just, I've walked straight into it. Give me 1 second. So he put this post on. So, right. Okay.
On what?
Instagram.
Oh yeah.
And he seems to have done this quite a bit recently. It's like he's writing things on his notes on his phone, and he's screenshotting them and putting them on as a post, because obviously you can't really write a post on Instagram, and it's obviously a way of him dealing with certain things or getting things off his chest, and he's saying them. And so I'm going to read it. It is quite long, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. So bear with me. So I'm sat on a domestic flight going across America. I've had 3 interactions so far with fellow passengers. One of them handed me a lovely note, kind words about my documentary, and then asked for a photo. I wrote a note back. I explained I'd been up since 4:30 a.m. I had 2 hours sleep and wrangled 4 kids to the airport. I've got bags under my eyes and I'm dealing with anxiety. I explained that if they came and took a photo with me, my anxiety would spike because then the whole cabin would start wondering who I am, and I'm not famous here. That kind of attention would only pile more anxiety on top of my already thriving being outside unease. I didn't say no. I wrote back, offered the letter and said, lots of people have photos with me, but no one's got one of these. Then a lovely steward came down and said, there's a man at the back of the plane who was a big fan of Rock DJ and wondered if he could come and take a photo. I wrote a similar note on the back of my plane ticket and said that when we land, I'll be trying to shepherd 4 children. Again, I didn't say no. I just hoped the note might be enough. As I was writing that one, another passenger walked up and just asked outright for a photo. I obliged. These days, I see it as being of service. If it makes someone happy, and I can, then I'll do my best to facilitate that happiness. I didn't always see it that way, but I do now, mostly. Still, I think there needs to be a caveat, so let me try to explain. This is dodgy terrain for a famous person to give context around anything short of course, it's my duty and right thing to do, is risky. There's a kind of unspoken law as a celebrity you should be accessible 24/7, greet all strangers like you're the mayor of the best town anyone's ever visited, make sure their wishes are met, whatever they are. Otherwise, you're a see you, yeah.
Yeah.
There's no in between. I've seen the argument. These people put you where you are, so you should. But that thinking's off. I reckon over 50%, probably much more, couldn't name one of my albums, let alone say they've bought a ticket to my show. There's no more fans of me than they are of the Leaning Tower of Pisa or Big Ben. They're fans of fame, as am I, but not necessarily me. Now listen, if we cross paths in the wild and you are a fan of me, I want you to tell me. That means a lot. I'll make time. I've got gratitude for that. It warms my heart when I feel I've warmed yours. But here's an open question. Do you think there should be a limit to how many people can access you in a day? Access you in a day. Is there a number that's too much? Or is it infinite? As many as there are, that's how many you should serve. I think people imagine these moments as one-off, isolated things. One person, one photo, one request. Not the 10 that happened that morning or the 5 still to come that evening. Every day. Now, it goes on.
Already, I'm picturing two things. One, is he walking around with a counter above his head that says, you know, there's one left?
Yeah.
Or alternatively, is he walking around like a bus conductor with one of those machines that they used to have in doctor's surgeries that say, take a ticket and take a seat. I'm sorry, there's no tickets left.
Did you say you weren't going to read it all out? That were a lot.
I thought he got into his memoirs.
There's one, two, three, four, five... There's five more
paragraphs.
Paragraphs of that.
Really?
And I'm not going to... If you want to, if you go on Robbie Williams on Instagram, you can read it. But it just...
By the way, for our American listeners, Robbie Williams is a singer that used to be part of a quite a famous boy band called Take That.
Yeah. But when you read that,
our American listener.
Because
we have got one.
Yeah.
It does make you think, doesn't it, to live that lifestyle, that it must be exhausting.
Like Notting Hill, when Hugh Grant opens the door and there's all those paparazzi, and he slams the door, and then Reese Ephens goes out in his underpants and he's doing poses and stuff.
Yeah.
It's fun. That for me, like, yeah,
brilliant. He does make a good point though. Like in that what he said is that people want photographs with them, like they do with lots of stars, although they might not be a fan. Mm. And that is the difference.
Autographs.
It's a good point, though, isn't it? Because let's say I saw somebody famous, like Tom Hardy or whatever, I know we were just talking about, I'm not a fan of his, but I'm like, oh, we'll have a photo with him.
Hey, Tom, I'm not a fan of yours.
I'm having a photo with him because he's famous, because of the fame, not because I'm a fan, I don't watch his
show. However, people are taking it a step further, because knowing you as I know you, will have a photo of him because he's famous, but so you can say to yourself, you've had a photo with Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Whereas it's getting to a point now, and I think this is probably what he was alluding to in his passage, that what a lot of people do would have a photo with Tom Hardy, sometimes not even knowing who he is, but know he's famous, just so they can post it on Instagram or social media to say that they've had the photo with this person.
To show other people that look who I bumped into, look who I've met.
And that's something that really, and just moving away slightly from the fame thing, what really does my head in on a lot of the walks that I like to go on or liked to go on, they're getting hijacked by, you know, the Instagrammers that want to be there to have the selfie in that location. Not because they want to do the walk.
Yeah.
They want to show that, I'm at the top of there. And there are places now, and there was a guy again on social media, and he'd taken a photo of a full moon. It was a red moon over Snowdon. It looked stunning. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, this opportunity was coming around, and there were hundreds of people. You could see almost like little lemmings across the silhouette of the top of Snowdon with the
moon
behind it. And you were like, all those people, and they've been queuing to get up there, and it's like, but they'll have only been up there so they can take the photo and put it on social media. Yeah. And it's just enjoy it.
Well, that brings a good point, because obviously the Pope died recently, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
And obviously people are going to pay the respects. But half at time, I mean, yes, there are people paying the respects, but half at time they go in to have a nosy because he's eating an open coffee and have a
selfie. Well, it was on the news, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was on the news about people just taking selfies.
So they're taking a selfie of them.
Smiling
with him in the background.
It's just ridiculous.
And you're going, they're not paying the respects. They're going because it's social media. Yeah.
It's a day off work.
And a day off work. Because there were a little kid with his family there, and they asked him about it, and he went, well, I've never seen a dead person, but it's just nice to be part of history and I've had a photograph.
Yeah.
And to him, it's like part of history because he's died.
It's like this show off culture, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
I'm going away from my own thing here, but there was a comedy video on Instagram, it's probably on TikTok as well, of a guy, I think he's a comedian. I think he's also either blind or because he played in, I don't know what you call it, partially sighted football team in Olympics or whatever. But anyway, the video he made was him knocking on a video of himself talking to himself just to show off, and he knocks on this door and he goes, hi mate, yeah, I've just been for a run, yeah, heart rate 1/9, yep, lapsed on the first corner, Total time, this many miles. Dunno, yeah. I've got a map here of my run. Don't know if you're interested in it. And he's like, I'm sorry, what are you telling me this for? I'm just going round all my ex-colleagues, friends, ex-school friends, just letting them know what I've done. And it's so true, isn't it? Like, yeah, I mean, yeah. Obviously, that yeah. What he's alluding to is people putting on Instagram their walks, the runs that they've done and stuff. Like, anyone cares yeah. what you've yeah. that you've done a run it, and how well you've done.
You see it a lot in Formula One. It's quite a big topic of conversation. It has been for about a couple of years with Formula One. That as Formula One has become more popular, more and more celebrities are going to the Formula One. Yeah. And because they're celebrities, they're getting like paddock passes and garage passes, and they're on the grid and, you know, this and other. And it really winds Formula One fans up. It really winds them up.
Because they don't get that opportunity.
They don't get that opportunity. So there's a little bit of jealousy, I get that. But then there's also the element of the, if somebody, a fan did want that opportunity, it costs a fortune, okay? But then because that person that's experiencing that is not getting any enjoyment out of it. There's a famous reporter, Martin Brundle, that used to be a racing driver, that does a grid walk, and it's been a thing for years and years and years that he goes up and down the grid, talks to the drivers, talks to the engineers as they're on the grid, but also maybe captures some people. There's people that...
I'm guessing he's got a microphone and he's talking to camera.
Yeah. It's a thing.
Yeah.
As part of Sky F1. And there's been celebrities that are Formula One fans. So like Gordon Ramsay's been around for years, you know, on there. Jeremy Clarkson, obviously, you know, but these are genuinely, he stops and talks. And what was happening was he was stopping to talk to famous people, singers, rappers or whatever, and they were shunning him.
Yeah.
They were refusing to talk to him. And the reason why they were refusing to talk to him, A, because they didn't know who he were.
Yeah.
Okay. And B, they were scared of, he did it on purpose. He would ask them questions about
to catch him out.
To Formula One.
Oh. Yeah.
So they would avoid him. They've actually made it a rule now. The FIA have made it a rule that if you're on the grid and Martin Brundle or the press want to talk to you, then you have to talk to them.
And then, but what if not? Is there someone there ready to eject you?
Well, I don't know.
How do you police that?
Exactly.
Yeah. Timmy Mallet running around with a hammer.
I don't know.
Or a mallet even.
But just going on that, you see, that they're only there because they're famous and they only want to go because it's something
they want
that's
to be
popular.
Seen to be there.
And they want to be seen to be there.
But just
going full circle, Rob, with what you were saying, I don't know how any of these people that are super, super, super famous. I'm talking about people like Taylor Swift, you know, and Tom Hanks, or what, these people that are global superstars.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not talking about somebody off TOWIE or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. People that are global superstars.
Or even Robbie Williams to some degree, because although he is very, very famous, there are places he could go and they wouldn't know who he is. Yeah.
But I'm talking about people that are globally famous. I don't know how they get through a day.
No.
I don't know how they get through a day. I don't know how they... You know, and I think it's wrong. I'm a big believer that, yes, if you are paid by the public, but you are still providing a service. You are still providing a service. You are, you know, you need to do the element of it to make sure you've got a fan base so they carry on buying into your service, and that's fine. But everybody's human.
Yeah, I think enough is never enough.
I think the same about politicians. I do.
Yeah.
People think they've got this right. Or, you know, or the royals or whatever, the politicians go on holiday and all of a sudden, you know, they're having pictures of them on the beach and stuff like that. Their job is a politician.
Mm.
That is their job. Everybody in this country, should I say, is entitled to annual leave. They're entitled to take a break from their job.
Slandered, aren't they, for having that holiday?
You know, now, don't get me wrong. Yes, they are. They have an element of responsibility that they always need to live up to that comes with the job, and that's absolutely fine. But imagine us here having a holiday and all of a sudden getting pictured on the beach or whatever, and look at what trunks they're wearing.
It's a big
look at how out of shape they are for years. Yeah.
Getting photographed on a beach either in a bikini or, you know, in whatever scenario, and it's front page news.
And it normally comes with something like, you know, how out of shape is such and such. And you think, mate, they're not in a film at the minute. Yeah. But we're right, but
who fuels this? It's a bit like the Amazon and the high street thing. You know, we've no high street shops. because people are buying off Amazon, but that's because we're buying things off Amazon.
Yeah.
So I completely
agree.
The consumers. Yeah. So we're consumers. If we didn't buy these magazines or newspapers with these celebrities in, then they're like, well, we don't put
or
that in.
Click on the link. Yeah, yeah.
So it is I agree. It's a chicken and egg situation.
Yeah. I think
there is a level of when you're unknown, if you whatever, and you want to become a celebrity, you almost want to do anything. You turn up opening an envelope to be famous.
Yeah.
But then there's a point where it twists where you go, well, I've got my fame, I don't want to do that. And I'm not saying that they should be doing it, but there is an element of, you know, they've got to have a private life.
Yeah.
But going back to the Robbie Williams thing, another good point with that is that I understand you don't want to be disturbed because people just think, well, it's one photo, it's 2 minutes. But as a fan, if you like, when can you go up to him? Because you don't really know when to approach him, when not to approach him.
No.
So, like, I understand if he's on a plane, you're probably not. But if he's walking in the street, would you? Or do you only approach him at a concert?
I think there's nothing wrong with asking the question. And I also think that there's nothing wrong, or a famous person should accept that part of it, that if you are famous, you're going to get recognised and there's going to be people that want photos or autographs or whatever. And I don't think should ever be anything wrong with somebody turning around and saying, do you mind if I have a photograph, or do you mind, can I have an autograph or whatever?
But just be respectful.
But be respectful of the answer. Yes. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. But the thing is, you've got... You know, and a lot of these people, it's self-entitlement, isn't it, we always come back to.
Yeah.
And you have to be socially aware, I think. When in a scenario, let's say you're in a restaurant and you see...
Let's say you're in a toilet cubicle with covered in... Sorry.
You're in a restaurant, you're having something to eat, and you see someone famous opposite you, and he's sat with his wife and family or whatever, and they're having something to eat.
Yeah.
The last thing they want is you going over and say, excuse me, mate, can I have an autograph? Can I have my photo? Yeah. And it's like, I'm just having my tea, mate, with my family.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, common sense.
But equally, on the flip, I suppose, if you see, I don't know, somebody in high spirits and they're sort of bouncing through Meadowhall, if you like, and I know people like Anthony Joshua have been in that scenario, and some, you know, famous sports stars and whatever, have been seen in those sort of places. And you can tell from the mannerisms whether they'd be open to being approached. And, you know, you know, you might wave to them and they might wave back and smile, and then... But if they don't make eye contact with you, it's almost an indication, right, don't bother me. I mean, I've got to be somewhere.
I was once in one of my hotels and I was sat working in the lobby. And I looked up and I thought, you know, when you think you see someone famous.
Yeah.
But they're just walking past and you thought, was that? Was that person? Mm. Yeah.
Well, was it?
And well, so I sat there. Next thing, he walks back in. And as he walked back in...
He didn't go, yes, it is, mate.
I caught a look of him, like, full on in the face. And I thought, it is. I'm delaying a little bit because I forgot his real name. So,
St. Nicholas.
His real name?
He was in a red suit.
Nick Mohammed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the comedian guy.
So, the comedian and the guy that from Ted Lasso and the actor and stuff like that.
I think he's going to be... I've heard he's going to be in the new...
He is.
Traitors.
And what a lineup. We'll come back to that in a minute, but what a lineup. But I'm a big fan of Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of him. I think he's...
I've not seen him catch a horse or a cow.
I don't know who he is.
I know who he is.
With a hoop on the end of a rope.
Oh, that just,
if you saw
much,
his face, I think you're
just over the head.
I weren't even listening. Who is he?
Ted Lasso. So the guy that's his sidekick.
Goes off to West Ham.
I think he's a comedy genius for starters, but then I think he's great in Ted Lasso. And I was in this dilemma. Up until that. Right at that moment, I was just about to get up from my table and go over to him to shake his hand. I didn't want anything off him.
And he flagged you off.
Yeah. And I didn't want anything off him. I didn't. I was going to get up, shake his hand.
But he was still at reception complaining.
And compliment him on Ted Lasso and stuff like that. And as I just got the guts to get up and do it, his family came down.
Okay.
And I thought... No.
It's not the place, is it, then? Yeah.
It's not.
Because you use common sense, which...
I use common sense.
And thought, that's
do you know
not
what?
Right.
I'm sure, or certainly how he's perceived, and let's put it to the fact that this was a Holiday Inn, so this guy is certainly very humble.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You know, yeah. Or maybe just wanted to be out of the way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, you've just said exactly what I was about to say, in that, why is it not enough to be able to say to that person that you clearly are a fan of and appreciate them as a person and their work, to say, I just want to say that I'm a big fan, I really love your work, I particularly like such and such, I'm really grateful for some of the stuff you're doing, and it's a real pleasure to meet you.
Yep.
And that be enough.
Make it about you. Make it about you and the interaction that you're having.
Yeah. And that you're just grateful that you've actually seen him in person, and you've actually been able to go up and say those words to him or her, you know, and for them to say, well, thank you very much, that's really kind. And actually, if they recognise that of you, for them to say, would you like a photograph? Because they know that that's probably what you want. And the fact that you haven't gone to them and said, can I have a photograph?
Can you imagine? Would you like a photo? No.
Yeah.
They should make that law, shouldn't they? That's it. Just bring it to law.
Yeah. You know, and why is that not enough? An example at Glastonbury, I think I mentioned this when I said it. I saw Kate Winslet.
Yeah.
And I am a big fan of Kate Winslet. I think she's a phenomenal actress. I love a lot of the work she's done.
Actor. No, I'm sorry, actress
actor.
Anymore.
That's very true. I'm glad you picked me up on that.
Yeah, you see. I challenge that behaviour.
Yes, I still
don't know what's wrong with actress. It's a word.
That's a different conversation. and the temptation to not ask her for a photograph, that didn't even enter my head. All I thought was, I'd love to go up to her and just say, Kate, I just want to say I'm a big fan of your work. And, you know, I'd have probably mumbled and talked shit for an hour. Yeah.
Stop swearing on this podcast, you will.
Yeah, sorry. Because it's me. But,
you selfish sod. You could have had two in you on that door.
But I honestly thought, do you know what? No, she's at Glastonbury. She's here for the same reason that I'm here.
Make a YouTube video.
Yeah. and it's not the place. I almost see it as Glastonbury's a bit... I feel as if it's uncool at Glastonbury to go up to a celebrity, because it's almost like there is a lot of them there. You see them, quite a lot of them. And you just think, no. Oh, that's certainly what I thought. No, I'm not going to. And I didn't do it.
Well, I think I've shared it before in a previous podcast that literally I sat next to someone extremely famous in LA.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and my reaction to that at the time was to play it cool and calm.
And buy him a beer.
And I bought him a beer.
Yeah.
You know.
He didn't actually want a photo.
No,
he didn't.
No. But I just think, it's going back to what we've all said. I think it is a case of using a bit of common sense, understanding these people are human beings, you know, and they know that they're in the public light and they're going to expect it. And almost want it to a degree in certain moments. Of
he
course,
he said that, didn't he? He said, if you think it, say it. I'll enjoy hearing.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think it crosses the line in, like we've spoke about in many of things. You know, it's just this entitlement thing. It's this almost like you are my property. You know, we have the same kind of things when you hear it. You hear it all the time about, for instance, I'll say it again, politicians. You know, or police officers. When you see police officers in the street and people are shouting, "We pay your wages," no, that's not how it works. That's not how the economy works.
You could be shouting that to teachers and doctors.
It's just this thing, you know. Politicians, they should do this, and this because we pay them. And it's just so single-mindedness. And you know, again, I saw a video. I think it was The Rock. That was in like a crowd. I think they were watching like a sporting game or whatever. Mm. And somebody behind him just leant over and put his arm around him to take a photo. But like almost like made him jump because
why would you expect that?
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But it's almost so that this is what these people... Yeah. So imagine just going out into public and almost being free game for anyone to be able to touch you, grab you, take your photo or whatever. And if you don't, get absolutely roasted for it.
Well, when I DJ, that's what people do to me. And I don't mean because I'm famous, but Markle experience. I mean, you've all DJ where people come to you and they put their particularly blokes, they'll put their arm, all right, mate. What are you doing? Go away. Why are you touching me? But it happens. But while we're talking about famous people, right, I want to know what you think about people that are known as legends. You know, when they talk about famous, but they'll go, like a chat show, they'll go, right, this week we've got on, you know, I'm trying to think of somebody famous, so I don't know, Jonathan Ross. We've got Jonathan Ross.
The Jonathan Ross show.
We've got Jonathan Ross, the legend.
You've not thought
the
about
legend.
This, have you?
No, I've just thought of legends. But do you not think that
who
legends...
Who else is on this? Graham Norton?
Yeah.
Parky?
But do you not think that he's dead? But do you not think legends is bantered about, thrown around too much for when the... Because sometimes I'll watch a show and they'll use the word legend for someone. I'm like, I don't think they're a legend.
Where's the bar that sets them as a legend? Is it how long they've been in the industry? Is it what they've achieved? Is it...
Well, I can tell you what I think makes a legend.
I'll come to your point. Or, particularly in this country, we'll say national treasure.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why, you know, like Joanna Lumley, she gets, you know, national treasure. And I do sometimes think, well, she's all right, but she's not done anything for a long time. So why is she a national treasure?
But I mean, I always think a treasure has been something that's really old.
But they usually
maybe
are.
That's what they say.
Somebody's been a staple, isn't it, throughout so long. Now, they're not going to do it until they die, but they'll have done it for so long. I suppose... David, what's his name?
Oh, you're getting like me now.
Coulthard.
Hey?
Coulthard.
David Williams.
No.
David Beckham.
Oh, Frost.
David Jason.
David Frost.
He's paid Frost, isn't he?
Yeah.
David Jason. Yeah. People would call him a national treasure, wouldn't they? Because they've sort of seen him from a very young age.
Again, old.
In sitcoms. He is now.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was almost a staple of TV comedy.
I think he's always looked old. Yeah. He seems to have always looked old.
Have you never watched Open All Hours?
Oh God, what a programme!
Yes, yeah, but I bet he was probably in his 20s. No. He looked like he was in his 40s. He's always looked older, hasn't he? Maybe not.
Anyway, get back to my point. What were you going to say about legends?
I think what makes a legend is somebody that will be remembered after they're dead.
Right, so therefore, I'll come back on another episode and I'll list all these people that's been classed as legends on shows that I've watched, and you'll say, no, they're not a legend. No, they're not a legend. They're not a legend.
It's an opinion thing, isn't it?
It is, but I think on TV particularly, they just banter it, they just throw it around too much. I'm like, they're not legends. Stop using that term. Yeah. Even national treasures, I'm like, they're not a national treasure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop it. Stop using it.
So tonight on the Saturday Night Show, we've got this old fart who used to be in the TV in the 70s.
Yeah. I mean, some of these...
I'm sure they'd love that.
Some of these legends have hardly done anything. I mean, I bet I could read out some of these names, not now because I can't remember, and Rob, bless him, would go, never heard of him.
We should
and
play
I'm
again.
Like, well,
just
Rob.
Yeah, we need a just feature, Rob. Don't we? Rob. Legend or legend.
we should put that on his board, on a spin the wheel. But, you know, what's your thoughts about this, about legends and national treasures? It's just banting around too much.
It is, but I think that's what is. On TV, especially on chat shows or whatever, people are trying to find, what are they called, superlatives?
Superlatives.
Yes, thank you.
I've just thought of somebody. Well, I watched the other day, she won
Big Brother.
No. Anyway, I'll tell you. The name, Sue Pollard.
Mm-hmm.
National treasure.
Yeah.
I mean,
she was do you know who she is?
She's on Loose Women.
No. She was on Loose Women. She was
no.
on Vanessa. She was on, and they went, "Oh, we've got a national treasure, Sue Pollard," and I'm like, "I like her, but she's not a national treasure." Do you know who she is?
I'm struggling to work out. Who she
that's
is.
My point.
So who would you class as a national treasure?
Well, I'd have to. My brain's a bit slow. I need to think about it. But I wouldn't class Sue Pollard. Would you? Do you know who she is?
Yes.
I do know who she is.
Now,
yeah.
The thing is, she was on TV for a hell of a long time, different shows that were staple in people's lives. You know, she was, and I think in all of them, alongside Paul Shane, who's no longer with us. And he was from Rotherham, wasn't he, Paul Shane?
Yeah.
He used to drink in my local pub.
I think, was Sue Pollard from Doncaster?
Who?
Sue Pollard.
Well, she might be, but...
Anyway.
I mean, she's a lovely lady, but she's not a national treasure. She's just...
I can't have an opinion until you tell me somebody that you do think is a national treasure.
I think...
Okay. I've got no...
Right.
I've got no
thing is, and granted, they've been paid for doing so, Mark, but they spent so much time of their time on our televisions. They've committed a lot of their working life to entertaining people.
Well, I disagree with you. Yeah. She did IGI.
No, she did.
That's it.
No, she didn't.
What else has she done?
She did the one where he's a butler and she's a maid.
Something, my lord.
Yeah. Good night, my lord.
Good, I know which one you mean.
Oh, thank you, my lord.
But again, not a really famous sitcom, is it?
It's
not
repeated. It was Croft and somebody, the two comic writers.
Yeah, David Croft and somebody, yeah.
Yeah.
They did Dad's Army, they did Are You Being Served, they did
IDI.
They did
a series of different comedies, and they appeared in quite a few of them. And I think if you've done that for sort of 20, 30, 40 years, then, you know...
I completely disagree. Hi-DI was the only program that she really did. All the others are just throwaway sitcom crap.
See, I thought the one where she was a maid and Paul Sheehan was a butler or a fellow... I don't know.
Fellow maid,
yeah. I thought that were better than IDI, but, you know.
Well, listen, that's fine. But
I can't believe we're talking about telly again. We're not a TV review podcast.
Listen, Mark, right, here we go. I've just found it out now. A legend can be described as the explanatory part that tells you what the symbols, colours, or...
You mean a map.
A legend is someone who is extremely famous or admired for their achievements, especially in sports, music, or entertainment. For example, Michael Jordan is a basketball legend.
Yeah.
Maybe it's achievements that they're going by.
Okay, but Sue Pollard shouldn't be on that list.
Who would be on your list?
I can't give it balance.
Don't say Black Lace.
No, I'd have to think of someone, you know.
Michael Jackson's a legend.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if we're going on that, Sue Pollard's on the same level.
Because now, hold on a minute. Let's not get too mixed up with what we're talking about. Sue Pollard wasn't introduced as a legend. She was introduced as a national treasure, which, in other words, she is a treasure of the nation. So, in other words, because she's English and British and then was well-known and well-found and did some very popular things in the past, that she's treasured by the nation. She's a national treasure.
Right.
What I'm saying is I don't really have an opinion on it because it's just a descriptive word to somebody that has been around, especially in the entertainment world, for a long time.
Yeah.
If you gave me an example of someone that is a national treasure, then I might sit here and go, well, yeah, you're right. You can't put Sue Pollard in the same category as that person.
David Attenborough.
Yes, national treasure.
National treasure.
Yeah, and he is.
Yes.
But so is Sue Pollard.
Yeah.
I don't understand. It's completely different.
Do you know what? I take that argument. I've got no argument against that.
So what you're saying is... You can't be a legend unless you've been a broadcaster for 70 years.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
No, we're talking about national treasures.
What did I say?
Legend.
Oh, yeah. No, all right, so you can't be a national treasure unless you've been doing something for as long as David Attenborough.
Well,
Is that the measuring stick?
Basically, yes. You've got to be...
So we've only got one national treasure.
We've got low. I can't think of him.
He's about 140 years old.
Well, is David Beckham a national treasure?
No, because he's not been doing it for 80 years.
Because I think he might be.
He's sort of borderline for me. It's a bit borderline.
I mean, he might be classed as an international treasure.
Mark's going to end up changing his feature from dead or alive to treasure or not national treasure.
I need to think of some more famous people.
Yeah, you do.
And I'll do it in the next episode.
Yeah, I'm more prepared.
I'm just going to stare at you till you think of some.
Okay, well,
I like it when you squirm.
Shall I Google? Let me Google.
Yeah, Google.
Like what Bob does.
Or ChatGPT, it's probably better.
Let me type in...
Have you got ChatGPT,
Mark?
I have, but...
What are you typing? For the audience, what are you typing?
I'm typing National Treasures.
National Treasures.
UK.
Amethyst.
Aquamarine. That's the way it comes up with. Right. What about Michael Caine?
Yeah.
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 National Treasure.
National Treasure.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Because he's so big.
Can I just say before you start this list, right? Are we going to agree on all these and the only problem you've got is they've called Sue Pollard a national treasure?
No. So far, the only people that are legends and national treasures are blokes.
Is that all they came up with?
Give us a woman, Mark.
I mean, there's... let's have a look. Type in... I don't like doing things on spot. Oops, who's that guy?
We don't know. We're not looking at your screen.
See, David Attenborough's on here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. We've got an advert. So don't get rid of that.
Anyone else?
I mean...
So far, we've got two old men.
There's Claire Balding on this list. National treasure.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Oh, yeah? So you disagree, do you, Mark?
Yeah.
Another woman.
She's not a national treasure.
Come on, Mark. I'll go and get you a shovel. You can carry on digging.
Boris Johnson's on this list. Jamie Oliver.
Yeah.
Not really. They're not national treasures. I mean, people like maybe Ian McKellen, the actor Judi Dench, that sort of David Dimbleby. These are national treasures.
Oh, one female.
Hey, he mentioned a woman.
Hey, Dame.
Judi Dench.
Don't make me sound like I'm sexist.
You're not the sexist.
I don't need to do anything for you to sound like that, Mark.
Let me find some people that are not national treasures. Let's see.
I can just see him Googling, who is a national treasure that is not making me look sexist?
I watch loads of programs where they introduce them as,
I don't know, we didn't watch
it. God. Come back to me.
No, I like watching you squirm.
I can't think of anybody.
Well, just before we move on to Wheel of Features,
yeah,
I just want, and I'm sorry, I know it's TV, but just because we mentioned it earlier, and it really did...
We are not a TV review.
We're not. I know. And
we're
not
reviewing. We're talking about it.
I don't want to review it. I just want to say that have you seen the lineup for Celebrity Traitors?
Yes. No. Mark won't have.
No, I am.
Do you watch Traitors?
No.
Wow.
Just me and you then.
Just
Kirk.
Me and you. Yeah. How good is that lineup?
It looks good.
How good is that lineup?
I mean, there's a couple of hangers on.
Yeah, yeah.
National Treasures at bottom.
Yeah, National Treasures, yeah.
You know, at bottom, hanging them on. But yeah, it looked.
Jonathan Ross, Stephen Fry, Nick Mohammed.
Yeah.
These are serious names. You know, a lot of times with these celebrity like programs.
Stephen Fry, National Treasure.
Yeah, he's a national treasure. Yeah,
we know he is.
Yeah, because
he's something. A bloke.
If they write books, they act, they present. What does
list them all? Mark.
What else does he do? Stephen Fry does something else, doesn't he? Does he produce? He produces stuff, doesn't he? Writes books.
I don't know if he probably helped write like Jeeves and Wooster and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think he writes. Yeah, if you're sort of a bit multi-talented type thing, it's sort of, you've got more providence to
provenance.
Sort of be a national treasure. But
provenance.
If you just sort of act,
provenance.
Yeah.
Just to put this to bed.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Sue Pollard is widely regarded as a national treasure in the UK. Her vibrant personality, distinctive voice, and memorable roles, particularly as Peggy in the beloved BBC Heidi High, have endured her to an audience for decades. Skip down a little bit. The new show, Still Fully Charged, which celebrates her 50-year career in show business, is why she's considered a national treasure today.
Even though you
don't
think
so. That's my point. She's not a national treasure. It's just bouncing around. It's bouncing around as if she's somebody's...
Parking this one.
Listen, I loved her in IDI. She was amazing. But that's all she's done. That's it. That's all she's done.
Right, moving away from national treasures, I actually watched something on TV.
We are not a review show.
I know. But, and it's not. I'm not going to.
You keep saying it.
I know. Right, and it's not about it. So I'm not going
to
go.
I
want
to go back to Traitors.
Oh, there was a program on. It was a document. It's actually a documentary, and it's on Netflix, and it's called Con Mum. And there's a guy who spends 40 odd years of his life not knowing who his mum is, and his mum reaches out to him. She's in her 80s at this point. And
is there going to be a spoiler in this?
Well, it's called Con Mum. She's a prolific con artist.
Okay.
And it got me thinking about. Again, I'm not reviewing films. The film Catch Me If You Can with Leonardo DiCaprio.
What film?
When he like...
Tom Hanks.
Pulls off... And Tom Hanks, yeah. When he's a con artist, isn't he? Could you do that? Could you like pull wool over someone's eyes or...
Yeah.
Yeah. To what extent? How far could you go? So that, you know, like Leo DiCaprio, for example, he ends up being a pilot. He gets his own money printed. He really goes to town, doesn't he?
I don't know, but I think I'd really enjoy doing it.
Yeah, I would enjoy doing it. Could I do it if I had to do it? Yes, but I wouldn't want to do it just for the hell of it.
And I wouldn't want to do it for monetary gain.
Yeah.
But like, for instance, let's just say I went to America and I was on my own. I'd gone to America and I was in a place and I could be anyone I wanted to be because nobody would know. And to play that kind of
okay, all right. So,
let,
so let me.
I'm Rob Bennett. I'm a national treasure.
So, putting something to you then.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say that you weren't married. You were single.
Yeah.
All right. And you was out in America.
Yeah.
And a female came up to you, or male. You know, depends. Yeah. You know. but a female came up to you, quite fit. Yeah. Fancier, and she thinks. That you're an actor, as in like she thinks that you look like somebody, you look like someone that she then believes you are an actor.
Right, okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know that if you play along with it,
yeah,
you could probably end up having a very nice evening.
Yeah. Is that what they call catfishing?
Well, catfishing is you putting something out there, pretending you're something, to, you know, that you're not.
Visually.
Right.
But what I'm saying to Rob is he hasn't instigated it. Somebody's come up to him and said...
And assumed.
And you've gone along with it.
Would I go
would
along?
Would you go along with it?
I think...
It depends who's listening.
I think I would. Do you know why? I think I'd enjoy... the element of wondering if I could, how far I could actually get away with it.
And that, and I think that's the thing when Mark's asked the question about could you be a con man?
Yeah.
That pushing of how long could I get away with it, or trying to think on your feet, and that buzz of trying to think on your feet or trying to be something that you're not, my anxiety would take over that beer. I couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it. An actor is probably too close to home, but let's say someone... I don't know. I was wearing something that alluded to some... I don't know. This is sounds daft, but someone thought I was an airline pilot. I don't know what I'd be wearing to give that away. Yeah. I've got epaulets on and stuff.
Yeah. You're aviators.
Yeah, but someone thought I was the pilot off the plane or something and got talking and, you know, she's a, you know, attractive female and playing on it.
Okay.
I think I'd get off the thing of, right, I get to be an actor. I get to act and see if that improvisation. Can I actually convince them that I am a pilot? How far can I get away with this? And if whatever the outcome is, whether I'd get to the point where I go, listen, I need to come clean. I'm not really a pilot.
Yeah, is that the next morning?
Are we still on? Just before you leave. But yeah, I think I'd get off on that element of it rather than hoodwinking someone for any gain.
I see that, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Time at the bar, please.
Let me just go back to Traitors.
Oh, fuck, I thought you were going to say Superlord.
No. Although I have thought of another legend.
All right.
And national treasure. Paul McCartney.
Bloke. Yes. Well...
I'll be honest, I'm not going to sound silly. Generally, national treasures and legends tend to be more male than female. It just happens to be how it is. Oh, I'm not saying that I'm making them that, but if you Google it, I reckon more men come up than women.
I get what you're saying. It doesn't mean you don't agree with it. You're just saying
it's like saying, you know, richest people in the world, most of them tend to be men.
Yeah. Yeah.
What were you going to say, Kirk?
Traitors.
So what I think
about traitors is, unlike the normal traitors
we don't want a review, but go on.
No, it's not being off. I'm just saying how it's the dynamics are going to be completely different because they're motivated by money.
As in the normal one.
That's what they
and is this a celebrity one?
Yeah, this is a celebrity one. So in normal traitor, they're not really bothered how they're going to come across on screen. I mean, they are, but they're then sidetracked by money. Mm. That's what it's all about. But so, of course, celebrities, they're not bothered about the money.
No,
but they're going to be concerned about how they come across.
Are they winning on behalf of a charity?
Well,
we don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I think they'll be paid to be on there. I think it'd be similar to I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of It. I think. But I don't
maybe.
Know.
Maybe. I think the thing is, it's because it's such a popular programme, I think the reason why it's managed to get quite an A-list lineup is because these people genuinely like the show and genuinely want to be on the show. And I think that's what will make it quite interesting to watch.
Because I'm going to see, how are they going to play it?
Yeah.
Because like I said, they're going to be concerned to how they come across on camera.
Yeah.
I think that's how they're going to be.
Yeah.
So
speaking of celebrities.
Yeah.
Shall we play...
You legend.
Yes. What a legend you are.
That was the worst thing you've ever, ever done. Yes, Rob, we'll spin the wheel.
Spin it.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's spinning.
What's it going to be?
Oh, I'm just so excited.
Come on.
You're nearly there.
The Wheel of Features.
Okay, so last week was AI Jukebox Jam.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave you this question. So, something is about longing, love, and the journey to reunite with a missed partner.
Well,
is this a film or is it?
it's not RoboCop. No. Somebody had a guess actually. So Sue Scoven had a guess, and she said, "Is it The Bed's Too Big Without You by The Police?"
Okay.
I've never heard that song before in my life.
I haven't, if I'm honest.
No, I've not heard that song. Have you, Mark?
No.
You haven't heard of it?
No. I've heard of The Police,
I've heard of The Police.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not heard of that song. Must be an album track.
Any other guesses from you guys?
Yeah, I have. So just, is it, say it again. I've got
sing
I've
it
got
again.
Two.
Sing it again.
I've got two.
Something is about longing, love, and the journey to reunite with a missed partner.
So I've got two guesses.
Okay.
You know, if we played it on the kazoo, Mark could get it instantly.
I'm going to have a guess. Everything I do it for you.
Right.
By Bryan Adams.
Right.
Okay. And I'm also going to have a guess at Run to You by Bruce Springsteen.
Oh.
Okay.
I'd guess at, what's that Lionel Richie song?
Run to You by Bruce Springsteen.
Hello.
Hello.
Is it me you're looking for?
Whenever I hello, though, I think of Adele.
I can see it in your thighs, something like that.
Hang on, me and Mark's having a conversation. Run to You, do you mean Bryan Adams?
It's Bryan Adams again, isn't
I'm
it?
I'm going to say, that's not Bruce Springsteen.
Who am I thinking of, Bruce? What song am I thinking of,
There's loads of tracks, Bruce Springsteen. It could be any.
I know he has.
Exactly, so what are you thinking about?
Born in the USA, without Bruce Springsteen.
Dancing in the Dark.
Good song.
Bruce Springsteen songs.
I don't think it's Bruce Springsteen anymore.
Do you think it's Bryan Adams, though?
Possibly Bryan Adams.
Should we stop this episode? Because none of us are speaking English. We're all over the place.
Is it Every Breath You Take by The Police?
That is The Police, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, he's just saying.
But he's not right. And Sue's not right either, I'm afraid. The answer was.
Don't say Celine Dion.
Show Me the Way to Amarillo.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What a bit of an anti-climax.
I'm not very good at this at all.
I think I would definitely have struggled with that. Anyway, shall we spin the wheel?
He's from Doncaster, you know.
Is he?
Yeah, from Donny.
So we need to spin the wheel.
Well, I think you
why do you spin it?
Oh,
yeah. No. Let's all pounce on Kurt. You haven't spun the wheel yet.
Yeah, that means I've got to get up.
Yeah, well, get up.
Come on, get some steps in.
Yeah,
7 steps.
This is your exercise.
Give me a minute.
Oh, man's getting up.
Oh,
bones are creaking.
It's Fact Dump!
Whether you like it or not!
Well, it's up. I'm going to leave it up to you now, guys. Okay, so if you want me to do a fact dump, I can. But obviously, we said going back a few weeks ago, we was changing Fact Dump to my new feature of the intros and the music music themes.
Yes. Have you got some?
Some what?
Intros.
I can deliver whatever. Listen,
I'm always
ready. I come always ready. I'm not like some people that are sat here making it up as they go along. So I suppose it's up to you guys. What do you want? Do you want some facts?
Nope.
Random facts? Or do you want some theme tunes?
I want some theme tunes. Theme
tunes. Okay, strap in.
So now we need a theme tune that goes...
So we're not doing Fact Dump?
No. Oh. So now we need a theme tune that goes... Fact Dump. And then it goes in with another thing, doesn't it? Ignore that. Carry on.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know what I mean, don't you?
I know where you are. I can hear it now.
Yeah,
I can hear it.
Do you know what I mean? It's that.
Fact Dump. Almost like a record slowing down.
Yeah, like it's gone wrong. Yeah.
So you can
Or even a scratch.
So you can make that then, Rob, yes?
Well, I mean.
Please?
Yeah.
Ready for this episode?
We'll see.
So just to make sure that it is ready for this episode, everyone, here's the intro.
And that's the end of the intro.
Yeah, great that.
Right, guys, so have you got something to write down the answers?
Going to platform one.
Going to platform one train. Yeah.
Yep,
have you got something to write down the answers?
Oh, hang on. Let me get me something to write the answers down on thing.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Phone.
Yep, plus. I'm ready.
So for those that don't know, I'm going to play some random...
How many are we doing?
Intros, 10.
Right, so I'll start number
10.
One.
10?
Oh, 10?
Yeah.
I only do 5 for my dead or alive. He's doing 10.
I'm ramping it up.
Ramping?
Here we go. Next week we're doing 40.
The whole episode. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready for the first one?
Yeah,
we're ready. That's a hard one, isn't it?
I know it's on the tip of my tongue.
Oh, I'm going to... okay.
Oh, yep. I've got it.
Have you got it?
I've got it. I've just got it. It's just come to me.
I
okay,
got it.
Write down your answers.
I've managed to write down an answer at least.
Okay, you ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Here we come. Oh,
that's all I need. It's a good job I'm old.
Hey, hey!
So that's your that's
I know
that
the
one?
Song, but...
Hey, hey, it's the Addams Family.
Yeah, but that's not the name of the show,
walking
surely.
Walking on the moon.
That's not the name of the show.
I'm just trying to put you off.
Yeah, but that's not the name of the show, though, is it?
What, do you want clues? I've got it right, so I don't want to give you any answers.
Right, are we ready for number three?
Oh, come on. Yeah.
Ready for number three? You ready?
Don't overthink it, Rob.
Oh, yeah.
That's it, switch it off. We should do name that tune, you know.
Isn't that what we're doing?
No. No.
Oh, we should guess these. This is what we should do. You should play something, and then we should guess it.
Hey, thanks for joining us on this podcast, Mark. And feel free to join us every week when we do the same things over and over again.
Have you all finished slating me?
Yeah.
There was a TV show called Name That Tune.
Yes, there was.
And that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, that was hosted by a bloke as well.
Where they only did, they go, I'll name that tune in two, and they go, bing, bing on a piano.
Yeah, right, yeah, okay. Yeah.
It was literally two, not 30 seconds, right?
Are we ready for number four?
Yes.
Thank you. I rest my case. I'll be quiet now.
Are we ready for number four?
Yes.
Ready number four.
They say I might as well face the truth, but I am just too long in the tooth, so I'm an OIP.
I used to really enjoy that.
Yeah. National Treasure?
It's funny.
What, the guy
you
that's
want,
in it?
Yeah,
no,
you always want to say the tagline.
No.
Okay, ready for number five?
Ready for number five.
Oh, yeah. Next.
Oh, I know that one.
Oh, that's a really annoying one, that. Because I know it, but I know the song. Are we ready for number six?
Ready for number six?
Yeah.
Ready for number six?
Ready for number six?
This is hard.
This sounds 70s-ish.
I think I know it. I don't
know. Yeah, that's hard. No, that's a 70s one, that.
The intro's too long for what I thought it was. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, ready for number seven?
Ready for number seven.
Oh, that's it, switch off.
Oh, I'm doing really
love
bad
that,
now.
Love that
this
one.
Is getting, I'm not really
yeah,
good
what was that, number seven?
That was number seven.
Do you want an easy one?
Please. Well,
they've all been easy, apart from number six.
Oh.
Monday, Tuesday, happy day.
Oh, I'll pick a different one then. Are you ready for number eight?
Yep.
Oh.
Can there be anybody out there that doesn't know what that is?
Well, maybe you.
Well, yeah.
Are you ready for number nine?
Number nine.
Yes. Best thing is, I thought you were Flintstones.
Rob, have you taken over this or what?
No. It's the sort of thing you do.
Sorry. I'll do another one. Sorry, I meant to cut it off sooner than that.
I got it wrong anyway.
Yeah.
It did sound like
Flintstones.
All right,
we'll do this one number nine. We'll do this one number nine.
Number nine. Oh.
I think I might have got that wrong. That number five is doing my head in.
You'll know when you'll go. Oh yeah,
I know. I know.
Number
number five. What was number five?
I got it wrong. That one.
That one. I had no idea what that were.
Okay, and the last one, number 10. You ready?
Yeah. That were really
right.
Hard.
So that was number 10.
Okay.
So you've had all 10.
Yes.
So we'll do the answers now. I got some feedback the last time.
That's because your microphone turned up too loud.
I did this theme with this feature. What was the what did I get told off for, Mark?
I can't remember.
Because you didn't give him the answer. You didn't play the actual hook of the song.
I don't think you said what number it were either, did you?
So I said what number it were, but apparently the last time I gave answers, I didn't replay the music beforehand to give the answer.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
I'm still trying to answer number 5.
time's up.
What's the show called where you text anti... I've got it.
Antiques Roadshow.
Right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go around and get the answers off the boys, and then I'll play a little bit so we know what we're talking about and then reveal what the answer is. So, question one, what do you think it is, Rob?
Open All Hours.
Okay, Mark?
I didn't get anything.
Okay.
It's Wombles, right? But I started typing in Wombles here on my phone, and it spell checked it to Wimbledon.
that's where they live.
Is your answer Wombles or Wimbledon?
Wombles.
Okay, so here's the theme tune.
No, that won't remember.
I don't know. That's my answer.
It's correct. That's the Wombles.
Is it? What? Yes. I thought you went, remember you're a Womble.
That was a Christmas song.
Remember you're a Womble.
Yeah, they released that as a song.
Oh,
Wombles released. That was a song.
I nearly put Wombles, and I actually sat there going, no, you idiot. That's remember you're a Womble.
They sang lots of different songs, Wombles. Yeah.
So that was number one.
I would have got that right.
So, Rob, number two?
I've just put Monkeys.
Okay. Mark?
I think it is that just the Monkeys.
Okay, Mark.
It's the theme tune to the Monkey Show. I think it was called, but it's Monkeys really. Is all I know it as.
Okay, here it is.
Here we come, walk down the street, get funniest looks from.
Hey. So yes, it's the Monkeys. It's the theme tune from the Monkeys.
I got it right.
Yeah.
I remember the opening credits. That I'm sure they're going down a street on a bed and wheels.
Yeah, they were. And they went into sea and they won back.
Okay,
yes.
So...
They tiptoe into the...
So, question three. Rob, what have you got?
Grange Hill.
Okay.
Yeah, I got Grange Hill as well.
Yeah, Grange Hill.
Here it is.
That's all we need. We only needed that.
Grange Hill.
And yes, that is Grange Hill. So, number four. Rob, what have you got?
1 Foot in the Grave.
Okay, Mark?
Yeah, 1 Foot in the Grave.
Mark. 1 Foot in the Grave.
Let's listen.
Is this your theme tune, Mark?
But I am just too long in the tooth, so I'm an hour.
That's correct. It's 1 Foot in the Grave. I love that.
I don't believe it.
Rob's waiting. Can't wait for this one.
So, number five.
Antiques Roadshow.
Okay, Mark.
I got Randall and Hopkirk deceased.
Okay. Mark.
Come down with me.
Okay, let's have a listen. Well done, Mark. That's come down with me.
Oh, yeah. You can tell who's not got a job, can't you?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, so number six, Rob.
Number six.
I've got no answer for that one.
Okay.
I thought I knew what it were, and then it seemed to go on too long, and usually I'm sure it starts singing before that. I got the Jetsons.
Okay.
Steptoe and Son.
Have you got the right numbers?
Oh, no, sorry. I missed that one. Yeah,
number
I
six.
I didn't get anything for this, sorry.
You didn't get anything, no. So let's have a listen.
No, I didn't get anything for this. No idea.
Oh, it's the one with the witch or whatever. Not Bewitched.
No, it's not Bewitched. It's a 70s thing.
It's quite an old programme. It's Tomorrow's World.
Tomorrow's World.
I definitely want to
Which version,
that.
Though?
I don't know.
Do you know what? Could you imagine watching that now and seeing what were they talking about for the future and how far in the back
yeah,
in the past?
I know.
What they were talking about now is...
I know.
I regularly watch that, yeah. I watch programmes...
On your VHS?
No, I watch programmes about Tomorrow's World and they show you clips about...
All right.
Retrospect. Yeah, it's
Retrospect.
Yeah. So number seven,
Photograph.
Rob?
I didn't get an answer.
You didn't get an answer?
No.
Mark?
For the next one,
yeah,
I got Steptoe and Son.
Okay.
And you, I think you know what I got.
I think you got Steptoe and Son. Let's have a listen.
I wouldn't have got that one.
You didn't get that one.
I didn't get that one.
That's correct, Steptoe and Son. So what are we on, number eight?
Number eight. Yeah. Go on, Rob.
Rob.
Right. I've got a problem with this.
Okay.
Well,
don't say you didn't know if it was Coronation Street or Brookside.
No. oh, thank you, you've just answered my question. It spell checked it to fasteners. And I'm going, fasteners? What were it meant to be? What were I meant to have written?
Yeah, well, it's spell checked mine.
Okay, Mark?
Yeah, EastEnders.
Mark?
That's what I got, but it spell checked mine to Easter Dads.
Can you remember when, was it Angie, she's married to Brian
Den,
May?
Den Watts?
What's the real name?
Anita.
And she they released it, didn't they, as a song?
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah. And what are called now, Mark?
Everybody can fall in love.
Let's have a listen. That's correct. It's EastEnders. So, number nine.
I got Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, so just the first number nine, just in case you didn't hear the fact that it gave away, was obviously I messed up and didn't press pause. Was obviously Top Cat. I just didn't press pause quick enough. I didn't think it came in that soon. So the real number nine, which was?
Little House on the Prairie.
Okay.
I thought it was All Creatures Great and Small, but I think that's a different piece anyway.
I don't think I'm right, by the way.
I put All Creatures Great and Small.
I didn't get anything for this.
You didn't?
No.
So let's have a listen.
It sounds a bit on a boat.
A familiar theme.
Is it something to do on a boat or something, or a ship?
Like Howard's Way?
Yeah, something like that.
Soldier.
Oh, we're way off.
Soldier.
I was about 40 years out.
And the last one, number 10, Rob?
I didn't get an answer.
Okay.
I put 24.
24?
24.
Wow. Right.
I put Fort Boyard.
Fort Boyard, ooh, yeah.
But I don't think it's that. I'm not sure on that, but that's what
Let's have a listen. It's Line of Duty.
Oh.
I've got to say, I think the people that said that we didn't, the bit you didn't do right the second time.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be slightly disappointed. All you've done is just play the same bit you played as before.
That was the point.
No, they wanted the main part.
No, they didn't. What the listener was saying was they were driving at the time, so they didn't have time. They couldn't write the answers down.
Yeah.
So when we was giving the answers, they didn't know which answer related to which theme.
Right.
They can't.
I thought they meant they what. So let's EastEnders. Let's say you only played do and stopped. I thought they then wanted the
no.
Right.
Don't worry, Vicky. I knew what you meant.
Yeah.
So how many did we get, Rob?
Four.
That's appalling.
Terrible.
Absolutely appalling. I made them easier on purpose this time.
Five.
Really?
Monkeys, Grangel, One Foot in the Grave, Step to One Son, and EastEnders.
Wow.
You beat me by one.
Seven.
Well done, Mark.
That's
Thank
a
you.
Good score.
Well done.
Thank you.
So is that feature here to stay, do we
think?
I think it is.
What's it called?
What's that theme?
What's that intro theme?
This has no theme.
What the bloody hell is that?
Music version.
But on that note,
it's been a pleasure. Yeah.
See you later, boys. Bye.
Thank you for your continued support with our independent podcast. Did you know that you can interact with us and other listeners on Facebook on the Chat In Tap Room Facebook group? You can also get in touch via email in the chat at gmail.com and, of course, on any of our socials. Thank you. And we'll see you next week.